just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes.
Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jerry Kirk. This is the Gathering Offering. This is, in pagan terms, March 18, 2010. In the Lord's terms, this is the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fifth year, the first month, and the 14th day. This is also the 11th of 26 weeks of an offering. If you will, a course. I welcome those with eyes and ears, and I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. Always at the beginning, I must take care of a responsibility and duty. And so I shall begin. Our Father who art in heaven, I praise you and I bless you as I praise and bless your only begotten Son, the Christ. Father, I am aware that I am not allowed to tempt you. I am aware that I am not allowed to contend with you. I am aware that I am not allowed to demand from you. I read where I am allowed to beseech you. I read where I am allowed to pray to you. Father, I take it to a step that I don't know how to talk about today. I ask you, when, Father, will you open the eyes and ears of the children so that they may know the seventh appointed day, to learn all of your appointed days? When is the time, Father? Cannot today be the time? Do we have to be ignorant for the rest of our stupid lives? Father, I stand and I will take your judgment. I will take the righteousness of your penalty for me coming so close to demanding that today be the time. And I know that I place myself in great jeopardy when I use this tone, but I'm willing to take it. Father, your time will happen when it's supposed to, but why not today, Father? Bring the helper, Father. We need help. It is time. We need the help. We need a victory, Father. Be it now. I beseech you. Father, as always, I know it will be as your will, and not by my words, but as close as I can come to stay saying, I am standing, and I am coming very close to saying, now, Father, in a demanding tone, and with great risk, I say this. Thank you, Father, for indulging me. And I hope, Father, that you will have your Son pray my prayer to you, as I know that is required. Ladies and gentlemen, I have said at the beginning of this course, that time is possibly the most important subject. Today is, if you will, sort of the end of the foundational type of offerings. If you don't get today's lesson, I'll put it to you this way. I wouldn't have the guts to go forward with anything, because without what is in this lesson today, I'm nothing but a shriveling, cowardice male that's laying on the ground, exposed. But before we go on to that, I want to talk about something else. Last Saturday, I received a letter from a man from Woodlands, Texas. His initials are SVT. It has been a long time since I've received a three-page letter from somebody that was so clear, was so honest, so succinct in his questions, and so dedicated. And I talked to this man from Woodlands, Texas. And this is this type of man, the attitude this man put into writing, the attitude that this man, when I talked to him on the phone for about 75 minutes, that's what keeps me going. My hat is off, and I salute the gentleman from Woodlands, Texas. And I'm not going to give out his full name. His initials are SVT. He knows who he is, and he's already volunteered to try and assist and do work. Attaboy, young man. Now, he's not that young, but he's younger than I am. Second thing is a little bit of business. I was off page a little bit last week on something, and I wasn't aware that I was supposed to tell you that there is another radio show, and it is called blogtalkradio.com, and it will follow at the very end of this program. So as soon as this is over, you can go to blogtalkradio.com. To my name, Jerry F. Kirk, /gathering offering. It has a show number of 933-408. Now, we're going to have 1 hour where you can call in. There are four or five caller numbers. You'll have to look them up on the screen. I'm not going to give them all out here. You can figure it out if you can find blogtalkradio.com. And I will accept calls. People can ask questions. They can make comments. You can call me a rotten, no-good idiot or whatever you want to do for 1 hour. There's also a chat room. And if you're not comfortable with speaking on the phone, you can type in the chat room. Now, I have a young man named Scott that is acting, if you will, like the producer. And he's going to be trying to handle that. He'll be on the phone, be able to be on the phone. If somebody gets completely out of line, we do have the capacity to zap them or mute them. So let's act like, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to contend and have something, you know, let's mind our deportment. Let's not yell and scream. Let's act like ladies and gentlemen. But this should possibly offer a chance for more individuals to ask some questions. If this is successful in the next couple weeks, I will consider, and most likely will, purchase out of my pocket, no donation, time maybe from 8 to 10 o'clock at night on Thursdays, which would allow more people to be, you know, at home, you know, not at work, and maybe expand this from 1 hour to 2 hours in a little more of a prime time thing. And on top of it, it would give me a little bit of time in between getting done with this particular one-hour deal and then jumping into another one-hour deal. And I do have chores, and I do live on a farm, so. But we're going to try this today, and that is blogtalkradio.com, and you can find that on your internet. And the host, or the show number, as I've been told, is 933-408. Go to my name, Jerry F. Kirk, /gathering offering. I'm sure if you've got a computer, you know how to use your chat room, and I'm sure that you can find the guest caller numbers. And listen in. If you can't find a guest caller number, I will make the assumption that Scott will give a couple of them out when we get started. Okay, we're going to move on to today's offering. This is Chapter 7. Chapter 7 is time, possibly the most important subject. Did Adam have a time wristwatch to tell time? Now, James down in Austin, Texas, he corrected that and put Timex, T-I-M-E-X, and actually that's not a typo. Time's wristwatch. This is Part B, and this is entitled, Can We Count to Three, Forwards and Backwards? Think about that. 1, 2, 3. 3, 2, 1. We'll give you a quote here. The next day John seeth the Christ coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Another quote. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, that being the first month. Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. In the 14th day of this month at even, ye shall keep it in its appointed season. Numbers 9:3. And stood a lamb as if it had been slain. Revelation 5:6. Is it a little bit clear that the Christ is known as the Lamb of God? Is it a little bit clear that on Passover, which according to when you do measurements, your own measurements of time, you will learn that today at noon began Passover. And for the next 7 days, I will not be buying and selling. I will not be doing manual labor. I will be doing my required chores, like I have baby lambs and other animals that have to be fed. Those are reliable chores. I've spent the last 24 hours going over my place and cleaning it and dusting it and getting it as in good a shape as I can, relatively speaking, so that for the next 7 days I don't have to worry about some dust and some dirt and so forth. I've cleaned my tub. I've cleaned my toilet. I've gotten myself where I can relax. I can enjoy a feast. I can study. I can have some extra naps. I can walk outside and I can contemplate the beauty and the wonder of the world. And so I'm somewhat prepared to begin Passover. And yet you're probably not going to hear of anybody else or very few people that are beginning Passover today. Isn't it kind of coincidental that we're doing this particular lesson where we're talking about the Christ being slain on this day? I find that a little kind of unusual to me. And what we are doing is talking about him being slain and the reason why he was slain and what the date was. Now, when one reads for content, and be killed and be raised again the third day, that occurs 9 times in the Bible. I'm not going to read out each of those verses. They're there. If you go to the website, freedom-school.com, you can see where I've typed them out. When reading for content, the sign of Jonas occurs 9 times in the Bible. Again, I've listed them. If I didn't make a typo, you can go read them all. You really need to. When reading for content, in 3 days occurs 7 times. 25 times in the so-called New Testament, which is actually the affirmation of the Old Testament, 25 times the number 3 is pointed out to the reader to get something in their head. 25 times! You know, I mean, the Lord is very generous to us. You know, 2 or 3 times would have probably been enough maybe for some of us, but 25 times he points this out to me, and look at the number 3, folks, and most of us can't seem to get it. So I'm going to read you a quote. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Okay, now is this kind of clear or is something wrong with me that I'm making this up? the Christ had to be in the ground. He's in the heart of the earth for 3 full days and full nights. You know, I've actually heard people say, well, you know, he was a half a day on this day, and a third a day on that day, and a sixth of the day on that way. See, he was only, you know, from Sunday to Saturday. It says 3 full days and 3 nights. Can we get that in our heads? 3 full days, 3 nights. Let's not talk about partial days and, well, you know, half of the sundown and half of this. Okay, he was killed and he had to be raised after 3 days and 3 nights. This is part of the Christ's words. This is part of what he's telling you. The Christ answered the Jews and said unto them, destroy this temple, that's being his body, and in 3 days I will raise it up. John chapter 2, verse 19. Okay, it's real clear. There's verse after verse after verse about this. Now, so we know for a fact 3 days and 3 nights. Hammer that one more time. Now let's move on to the next book. At no point in any historical or theological debate is there an argument that he did not raise up, that he wasn't raised up on the first day of the week. Now, that was called Sunday. Now, let's think about it a second. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Well, those are all pagan names. Y'all know they're all pagan names. Anybody that hasn't read and seen that Sun, Sunday, Saturday, Saturn's Day, they're all pagan names. Get that in your head. That's a pagan term. And the pagan's first day of the week is Sunday. There's no argument about this. He was raised up on Sunday. Now, what time he was raised up is something that you have to figure on that. Never in the King James Bible, nor have I found it in the Farrar Fenton Bible either, where a specific time is given. And I've had people in the past say, oh, yeah, I know when it was. And I say, okay, let's read all the verses. And when they get done reading them all, they say, gosh, you know, there's no specific time given. Okay? However, it does say early the first day of the week. Now, what does that word early mean? Could that mean? Let's see, are we talking Sunday that starts at 12 midnight? Are we talking Sunday that starts at 12 noon? Well, that's a debatable item, depending on what calendar you're trying to think about. Let's see, the pagans, let's see, they got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, start at 12 midnight. Let's see, Book of Enoch talks about 12 noon. All right, now, let's try something. Let's say we start at Sunday, and just playing along with me, let's start at noon. Okay, Sunday at noon to Saturday at noon is 1. Saturday at noon to Friday at noon is 2. Friday at noon to Thursday at noon is 3. Wow, how about that? Now, if I try and I go, let's see, let's say Sunday at 12 midnight, okay? And I go Sunday at noon to 12 midnight to Saturday at 12 midnight. That's only 1. That's not 3. How can you come up with Saturday being the 7th day? Now, let's try it another way. Say Sunday at noon to Sunday at noon. Well, that's 0. That isn't 1, 2, 3. I mean, is this too hard for any of us to figure out? You know, how come you're keeping a 7th appointed day on Sunday? You can't even subtract anything from it, much less 3, and still be on Sunday. You can't subtract 2 or 3 from Sunday and get to Saturday. Think, people. That's what this offering is about. The preachers don't want you to think. They want you to sit there and say, oh, well, we don't want these people to use any common sense. We just want them to be in a trance. We want them to be talking about the spiritual stuff. Trance speakers. Remember the lesson last week? Are you thinking a little bit? Now, since he had to be slain on the 14th, that's the Father's law. 14 is divided by 2, and you get 7. let's see. Okay. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then a week later, we have 14. So 14 that day would be the same day as the seventh day, wouldn't it? We just divide it by 2. Bingo. Now you know that it's Thursday. Your question is what time Thursday is it, maybe? Maybe you did not take a look at the very first lesson of Chapter 7, Part A. Maybe you did not do your homework. Maybe you did not study history. But, you know, now you know it's Thursday. Just, you might be debating what time. Next area. And I quote, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be unto you the first month of the year." Exodus 12. Chapter 12, verse 2. "In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb." Exodus, chapter 12, verse 3. "And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month." Exodus 12, 6. Okay. Now, the law says that a lamb has to be brought in on the 10th. Now, again, there is no argument that the Christ did not come in on something called Palm Sunday. Nobody argues about that. You know, hey, he comes in on this little donkey and they lay down some palms and everybody's sort of cheering and kind of amazed he's coming in and volunteering to come in because he knew he had to die. He knew this was the Father's will. But he came in on Palm Sunday. So let's push ourselves a little bit more. Let's say Sunday at noon to Monday at noon. That's one day. Monday at noon to Tuesday at noon, 2 days. Tuesday at noon to Wednesday at noon, 3 days. Wednesday at noon till Thursday at noon, 4 days. Well, how about that? Golly gee. By following the Father's law, he comes in on Palm Sunday, which is the 10th, and moves all the way up, and he has to be slain on the 14th. That's the Father's law. This is no you can't argue with the Father's law. Now, you may not want to listen to it. This may make you not so popular with all your friends that are in a trance. But it's real plain. It's real simple. He came in on the 10th. You count forward. It's Thursday. Now, if you want to debate what time it is, okay, go ahead and debate a little bit if you want to. But you got to get the day right. Eventually, you'll get the time right. Now, if one takes and subtracts 7 from 10, you get 3. How about that? Basic arithmetic. How many times did the Christ tell you? On the third day. Well, guess what? When you count forward from 14 to 15, 16, 17, wow, how about that? That's, again, the third day. All Sundays are the third day of the Lord's week. How about that? Maybe you need to actually go read the typing. And to read it 2 or 3 times. Count forward. Jeez, you see, Thursday, 14, 15, 16, 17. How about that? That's Sunday. Subtract 14. That's the third day of that week. Third day of the third week. He tells you 25 times, pay attention to the number 3. Count forwards, count backwards, ladies and gentlemen. It's that simple. And if you can't do that, how in the world are you going to come out of Babylon? How in the world are you going to be in compliance with Revelation chapter 18, verse 4? Don't you think it's real important to keep his day as opposed to, say, like, whatever day you want to make up? Who's the boss? Certainly isn't me. Are you the boss? Or is the Father and the Christ, are those the bosses? Are they the masters? Do we do what they say, or do we do what Billy Graham says? Do we do what Ellen G. White says? Do we do what the horror of Babylon, the satanic hope, the Holy Roman Empire? It's called the horror of Rome. He can't get too mad about it, can he? Anybody have a problem seeing that, you know, let's see. let's see. Seven Hills, Rome. Kind of pretty obvious who they are. Well, what do you think they are? They are the offspring of Zepho, if you really want to study it. Go into the book of Jasher and see who conquered all of Italia. Learn what the word Chittim is. It's the earliest name for Rome. Who is Zepho? Oh, how about that? Grandson of Esau. Let's see, what's the Lord say? Jacob I love, Esau I hate. Esau becomes Adam. And where is the seed of Adam? Chittim! That's who conquered Italia. A lot of history in the book of Jasher about Zepho, about him fighting the sons of Ham, King Augustus, Angus, actually. They wanted to change his name, but his real name was Angus, like the black Angus cow. And his brother Lucanus. And they actually captured Zepho, and that's why he had a permanent dislike with Egypt, and that's why for centuries and centuries after Zepho finally escaped, he went over and conquered, you know, Italia, and that's why Rome and Egypt fought for years and years. That's how you got your lovely Julius Caesar and Cleopatra type garbage, you know, that, hey, they fell in love. But that's where, you know, Rome came from, is from Zepho, the loins of Esau, the Edomite, the Canaanite. Generalized term. Okay, now we're getting ready to, at the bottom of the half hour, to have a little break here, and so this is always the time frame where I have to sort of stretch it a little bit and say, golly, I don't know exactly when the music is going to start, but when it does, then we'll have our break at the bottom of the half hour. I would like you to, during the break, instead of running off and getting a Coca-Cola or a glass of juice or something like that, why don't you just think just a second about counting to three? Isn't this simple? Count backwards from Sunday to Saturday to Friday to Thursday, and then count forwards to three. This is very simple. But you know what the problem is? The problem is if you get it and everybody else around you doesn't get it, then everybody's going to say, boy, he's a weirdo. He's actually doing what the Father's law says. Oh, and golly, we wouldn't want anything to kind of like hit you in between the eyes, like, just how in the hell are you going to keep your job? How in the world is that going to work? Well, you're going to have to figure it out. And you're going to have to pray to the Father how you can take your job and work at nights. Go to your boss and say, I got to work at nights. Or I'll have to work at Saturday. I'll make up my hours. He'll help you. Get back to you after the break. Thank you.
Problems just a toy balloon. They'll be bursting soon. They're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem. Kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem. Kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem. Kerplop.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings, and to his kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and a heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188. 3188.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines. 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then, you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from firstamendmentradio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at firstamendmentradio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Once I get you up there where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jerry Kirk. This is the Gathering Offering. This is the 11th of 26 weeks of an offering course. I'm pretty sure that you're not going to be hearing the type of information on any other talk show of any type of media or any type of newspaper, TV, or anything of the material here. And I stand by my material 1,000%. I put my life on the line. I put my immortal soul on the line with no reservations of saying this in front of the Father and the Christ. I have done my homework, and I have been doing this a long time. I have been keeping the proper seventh appointed day since 1999. Now, I knew a lot of this paperwork we're going over, but I still wouldn't switch until I could measure it. And before this 26 weeks are out, I hope to have some people up the way. They've got one of these nice digital-type camera things. And I hope to be able to take some pictures of some measurements and to be able to show you. Because just paperwork, I'm one of these guys that sort of, they say, in today's society, I'm obsessive compulsive. Well, I call myself goal-orientated. Now, the people that I've run into individually have known that, yes, I have been saying this is when it is. And they know I do it. I don't talk the talk and fail to walk the walk. That's what a lot of people do. They just run their mouths. They don't actually get out and do it. This course is designed for you to get the paperwork from freedom-school.com and to go read the book chapter and verses. This is designed to let you start using some common sense. Like some common sense. Do you think the bad guys would have a different calendar than the good guys? Do you think the bad guys would just automatically say, hey guys, this is when you're supposed to do it? Or do you think they try and deceive you? Think about that. Now let's move on to a subject called Saturday. And bless the children, Father. I know so many good people that are really, they work hard, they're honest, really great people, and they're doing Saturday. Saturn's Day. Saturday. Saturn's Day. Well, it's actually known historically as Dies Saturni. Dies, D-I-E-S. Do you die on Saturday? Is that what will happen to you if you keep Saturday? I wonder. I'm going to read a quote to you. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month. And he offered upon the altar, and he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. 1 Kings. Chapter 12, verse 32. Even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. 1 Kings, chapter 12, verse 33. This occurred at approximately 974 to 973 B.C. Now, even a casual reader of the Bible knows that the third feast of the Lord is to be in the seventh month. So what in the hell was Jeroboam sticking in an eighth feast, a feast in the eighth month? Well, he was following the Canaanites. And in today's society, that's what the eighth month is in pagan terms, October. Oktoberfest, a pagan feast, so that you'll skip the seventh month, the third feast in the seventh month, and do, let's go get drunk and drink beer. Doesn't take a whole lot of research to take that starting point of Jeroboam and go look under the title of calendars and research that in fact what happened was they instituted an 8-day week, 10 months of the year, 354 days in a year. During this time frame in history, Dies Saturni was always known as the first day of the week. Whoops! Now how'd it go from the first day to the seventh day? Well, the calendar got so absolutely messed up by these Canaanite, ideas that they had to switch back to a seven-day week. Now, some researchers will arguably say it was 325 B.C. Others will say it was 225 B.C. that they switched off from an eight-day week to a seven-day week. Now, at the end of this time, whichever be it 325 or 225 B.C., the Dies Saturni quit being the first day of the week and it became the seventh day of the week. All you have to do is do some research and you'll find that, whoops, it was the first, now became the seventh. And it was done by the Babylonian calendar. It was done by the Canaanites. They were ruling the world. Now, there was a time frame when Nehemiah came back, and there was some limited number of individuals came back to Jerusalem, and the individuals under his care, Nehemiah rent his clothes. I mean, the people didn't even speak the proper ancient language of the angels. They didn't know when the seventh appointed day was, and he said, Lord, what are you doing to me? These people are completely stupid. They don't know anything. Nehemiah was beside himself. But eventually that one little group, they kind of learned some stuff, and of course then they faded away. It faded out of history. They were a very small group. Now, how did Saturday get reset in everybody's mind as being the seventh day of the week? Well, historically what happened, and I'm talking about, if you will, people that call themselves Christians but really don't know what the word Christian means, but they were generally speaking pretty good people. They're just a little deceived. Well, There was an individual called Ellen G. White, and she started with three other individuals and started running around North America saying, Saturday's seventh day of the week. Ever look up Ellen G., the G? It was Gould. She was a relative of Jay Gould. All of the financing for the Seventh-day Adventist movement came from the Gould Foundation money. Maybe someone wants to do a little homework on Jay Gould and see all of his buddies like J.P. Morgan and the Rothschilds and see where he got his money. If anybody had put forth prior to the Civil War that Saturday was the seventh day of the week, the people that were the followers of the ways, the followers of the Christ, would have tarred and feathered them. Tarring and feathering was usually very fatal. That oil and that tar was hot, and it burned your skin off. It would usually kill you. Now, you need to think about this. Why would the Goulds want you to go to the seventh day of the week? This did not occur prior to the Ellen G. White and the three other individuals. Now, it's kind of funny, but I'm going to say 8-9 years ago, I ran into a family that was predominantly Seventh-day Adventist. And the two sons were interested, of the family, were interested in studying. And I said, well, why don't you do a little homework on Ellen G. White? And I don't have a computer, but anyway, they did some research, came up with some stuff. They came back a couple months later, and they said, oh, my God, Ellen G. White was telling everybody to be a vegetarian. She raised pigs, she sold pigs, and she ate pigs. And that really struck them as being incredulous. I didn't do that research. They did. Seventh-day Adventist. Saturday always was and always will be the holy day of the Canaanites. Get your head wrapped around that, ladies and gentlemen. This is not real popular to walk up and say, hey, you've been doing something for 40 or 50 years and you're wrong. Well, you know, this is why we refer back to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We have to drop our arrogance. Now let's move on to something a little more historical. The Roman Catholic Church, also known as the Universal Pagan Catholic Church, I abbreviate it UPCC. Well, actually, I threw the pagan in there. Now, if you take the UPCC and take the P out of it, you get UCC. And all these idiots run around, and they try and use the Uniform Commercial Code. See any similarity, UCC and Universal Catholic Church? Think about that a little bit, folks. All right, now, go look up the subject Good Friday and the Catholic Church, and go back to that time frame in history. And you will find hundreds of letters that when the Pope switched and created Good Friday, it was Good Thursday before that. And when he switched, hundreds and hundreds of people wanted to tar and feather the Pope because they wrote letters saying, we've known for centuries and centuries and centuries the Christ died on Thursday and now you're switching it to Friday. This is historical. You can find this out. This is true. I'm not making it up. But you got to do a little bit of work. You have to check it out. If you just take my word, well, you know, you're not being very smart. All it takes is 5 or 10 individuals to do this checkout and then start talking to people and say, you know, we actually listened to Jerry and we checked it out and, by God, it used to be Good Thursday. And they switched it to Good Friday. They've been hiding this. Think about it. Bring no more vain oblations, the new moons and Sabbaths, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, you know, that's how you pray, I will hide my eyes. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash ye, make ye clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. That's the Lord speaking. Did you see the word up there, vain? That's the vanity of man. It's not the vanity of the Father or the Christ. They don't have any vanity. You see the word your? He's not talking, he didn't say my new moons, my appointed feast, my soul hated. No, he said yours. He hates yours. When you're doing the wrong ones, you're doing yours. Jeroboam imagined it in his heart. That's what walks around on our planet right now. Oh, I got to be right. My preacher told me. Oh, I'm in a big congregation. We're all doing it on Sunday. We're all doing it on Saturday. We can't all be wrong. When are the masses ever correct? For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the mist. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 16 and part of 17. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a reference to Christmas. It singles out one specific area of appointed times of the pagans. Now, you might want to go to Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 2 through 5 and see the Christmas tree in real clear terms. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 2 through 5. And this is where the Christ is wrapping up his dissertation or his instruction to Isaiah. He started out with chapter 1 saying, your new moons, your feast, your appointed times. And he's wrapping up by one simple thing. Sanctify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the mist. Now, you're going to have to, you know, if you don't want to read Jeremiah, you don't want to get this, you know, on page 6, where I talk to you and talk about the Christmas tree, and you don't want to go look it up, well, you're not going to get it. This course isn't for people that just want to listen. It's for people that want to do some homework, want to get smart, want to win. Okay, now, what are the most amazing things that I have heard many, many times is individuals get together and say, well, let's see, the first day of the year and the first day of the first week of the year and the first day of the first month of the year, they're all different days. I mean, there's people out there that look at you dead in the eye and tell you they're all different days. Now, think about the rationale that the first day of the first week of the first month and all that is a different day. What has happened to those people's minds? Did somebody put a wearing blender in their brain and stir their gray matter? Your year begins with day one. And the first day of the first week, the first day of the first month, all the same thing. Use some common sense. Drop your arrogance. Get off these stupid calendars. And it came to pass at the end of the year, 2 Chronicles 24, 23. That is the only mention in the King James Bible as to when the end of the year is. Now, if you go to Strongstein's, they will admit to you it's called Techifot. That's called spring equinox. Got to do a little homework there. Even the Canaanites couldn't hide that. It's the only place in the King James Bible you're going to find that. At that period, the night becomes shortened. It is precisely 9 parts, and the night is equal to day. The year is precisely 364 days. Enoch, chapter 71, verse 41. The sun has thus completed its beginnings, and a second time goes round from these beginnings. Enoch, 71, 42. Equal day and equal night is equinox, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm on page 6 of this, and I've got a typo that was not caught and is put up here incorrectly on the website. What words I have, it says, historically, the spring equinox was the first day of the year. That's wrong. And I have to get James to handwrite this in down there. Historically, the day after spring equinox was the first day of the year. I'm sorry for that. I didn't catch that mess up there. This was true for thousands and thousands of years unless someone takes and goes to the Canaanite, Hebrew, Chaldee, Jewish calendar, which uses the moon and other wizardry methods. In 1525, Pope Gregory issued an order to change time. Various popes prior to him have changed times at least four times in the past, and they did it retroactively to the Julian calendar. They did this centuries after the fact. They just said, oh, we're going to go back three or four centuries and change that old calendar and just call it what it was and make it what it is, just because we're the Pope. You got to think about that. The arrogance of the whore of Babylon. The Gregorian calendar, the calendar that we have today, was mandated in 1525 to begin worldwide in 1775. So this great knowledgeable calendar that you've got today, it's only been around for, let's see, about 235, 40 years. So we're real smart, aren't we? If you'll go back and check on something called George Washington's birthday, and you will hunt it down, you'll find that George Washington was the only president of the United States to have a birthday in the same day, in the same month, in two different years. That's because England was in control of the colonies, if I recall it was 1731, and they switched a few years prior to 1775. Kind of coincidence, you know, let's see, you know, supposedly we had a Declaration of Independence, 1776, 1775, when they switched time. Now, people fail to do the law. They want to just change part of the law. You have a law, simple. 6 days thou shalt labor and do thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, the seventh appointed day of the Lord thy God. Exodus 20, chapter 20, verses 9 and 6 plus 1 equals 7. 7 divided into 365 equals 52 weeks and 1 1/4 days. Do you think the Father could not figure out how many days are in a year? Do you think he can't multiply and divide? What do you do with that extra day and a quarter according to the Father's law? Well, what you do is you start resetting it. Well, let's see, the first day of the year doesn't have to be the same thing as the first day of the first week or the first day of the first month. Just make it up. That's what's going on in our society. Just make it up. I've been measuring equinox, ladies and gentlemen, since 1999, and it always occurs. Spring equinox to fall equinox is 182 days. From fall equinox to spring equinox is 182 days. I've been doing it since 1999. And it always comes out. There are 364 days in a year. Why don't you read the book of Jubilees? Why don't you read the book of Enoch? They don't want you to know about these. It is up to you to eliminate the confusion out of your life. You have a choice. The lake of fire is hot, and it's not such a good deal. Or the supper of the Lord is bountiful. That is your choice. I can't do it for you. You've got to do it for yourself. In about 8-9 minutes, you may go to blogtalkradio.com, the Jerry F. Kirk /gathering offering. The show number is 933-408. We're going to be on there for 1 hour. You can ask questions. You can make some comments. Try to be succinct. I would love to have a whole bunch of people call in and ask some questions. Try not to get on there and spend 5 or 10 minutes just telling me about, you know, your dog's got a crooked leg or something like that. Let's get on to it and let's try and do some work. That's what this offering is about, is trying to do some work and think. Use some common sense. Exercise our gray material and don't be afraid to stand up and say, I'm not going to be deceived anymore. I am tired of these pontificators. I'm tired of these people that just talk about spiritualism, that say, well, you got to get your spirit right. They're trying to put you in a trance. They're trance speakers. They want to be popular. I don't give a rat's toenail about being popular. I require the truth in my life. I don't care whether anybody likes me or don't likes me. I care about what the Christ is going to judge me. That's what I care about. And that is my goal in life, is to stand before him and get a judgment, hopefully to the positive. And that's my goal. And I suggest that's what all of us with eyes and ears, our goal must be. We must be aware of the fact we will die with one item, and that is our integrity and how we have proceeded in our life with honor, and were we willing to stand? Were we willing to stand and offer courage to our brothers and sisters that might need some courage to see how we stand? And just give them a little hand up and give them a hand again and help them again. But those that don't want to have eyes and ears and open them, to hell with them. They're going to the lake of fire and there's not a damn thing I can do about it. It breaks my heart, but I can't do anything about it. I'm not in charge of that. Neither are you. Help yourselves. Open your eyes. Open your ears. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. You've heard that before. Today is your opportunity. And if you can't get this lesson, I would not go forward and contend with Babylon, because you're probably going to lose and piss in your pants. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to this. This is probably the most important offering of any of them that will be thrown out in this 26 weeks. I certainly hope you get it. I can't do anything more than what I... My incompetence is overwhelming, but I've done the best I can. And I praise and bless all of those with eyes and ears. And I look forward to someday being able to shake hands with every single individual that has eyes and ears across this planet. And I look forward to the day that if I am so judged that I can come to the supper, if all I get to do is wash the dishes, I'm going to be there. If all I get to do is wash the floors, I'm there. Now, I'd like to maybe be able to sit down and have a little bite of food, too, but if all I get is washing the floors, I'll be happy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our goal. Get to the supper. And we got to do it. We can't talk about it. We've got to be men and women of action. Let's go for it. Thank you. And blessings to those with eyes and ears.
To simply hold your horses, to rush would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy.